This morning I'd like to speak on the thought, what is prophecy? What is prophecy? And the opening text this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, which reads, "Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Let's bow our hearts today. And another thing, two things actually to pray for. Number one, our girls are returning from their retreat, the STARS group, which I think is 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, somewhere around there. 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Young girls, they're coming back, and let's pray that they had a wonderful time and that God really did an impact in their lives. And Saturday's yard sale, let's pray for good weather. Thank God we didn't have it yesterday. Amen? That would have been rough. Amen. What is prophecy? 2 Peter 1:21, once again, "Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." God, we thank you once again for being in this place. We thank you for the grace and power of your Holy Spirit. We commit this time into your hands and pray for your strength and for your anointing to be upon this speaker and to be with every one of us here. And we ask this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Last week was Pentecost Sunday, and we took time to talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And what a great privilege that is for the believer. We talked about how when the Holy Spirit fills us to overflowing, when we experience that second work of grace in our lives, that God gives us power to live for Him, to serve Him, and to worship Him. And I'd like to continue to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning, specifically by talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in that as the Holy Spirit, one way the Holy Spirit does move in the life of not just the believer, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is by moving in a supernatural fashion. And there are many supernatural ways that God moves when God's people come together and they are filled with His power and His might. We believe as a church in divine healing and have experienced supernatural healings when we've prayed and asked God to move upon people's bodies. And we've experienced the miraculous as the church. We've experienced so many things. But this morning, I'd like to center on one specific gift. And when I talk about spiritual gifts, I'm talking about those supernatural works of God or works of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer to build up the church or to help the church grow and to fulfill its mission. The gift I'd like to talk about this morning is the gift of prophecy. Because according to Scripture, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, the gift of prophecy is the greatest of the gifts, and it's something that we should desire. We read about the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 4 and 5, which reads, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified." So prophecy is a wonderful gift because we had a prophetic word this morning as we worship God. What it does, it just doesn't bless one person. It blesses many people. And that's why I believe prophecy is designated in Scripture as the greatest gift that there is. But because it's a supernatural work of God in the church, we need to view prophecy like dynamite. And what I mean by that, dynamite is we can look at dynamite two ways. Number one, dynamite is something that can enable people to do something beyond they could do themselves. You know, as you drive along the highways and you see the bedrock that's been carved out so the highway didn't have to go up and down but could pass through a lot of those little hills that the path goes through. It was through the force of, I guess, dynamite or explosives that allowed that bedrock to be shattered and the road to be paved away. Can you imagine how long it would have taken a couple of guys with some pickaxes to chop away at that bedrock? You know, they'd still be doing it today, and we'd be taking the long way road to Hartford or wherever we wanted to go. But dynamite is also something that if it's misused, if it's used carelessly or if it's put in the wrong hands, can cause great damage. And so it is with the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy is a wonderful thing, and prophecy can do great things in the body of Christ, but like dynamite, it can be misused, and so must be treated cautiously if it's to be used correctly in the body of Christ and fulfill God's plan for it within the body. Let's take a few moments this morning and let's talk about what prophecy is. And of course, when we think about prophecy, normally we think about future events or the revelation of future events to God's people. And of course, when we think of prophecy, some people might have received individual words of prophecies as far as things that might happen in your life. We've seen that in the body of Christ. And of course, the Word of God is a word of a book of prophecy, and it foretells the events of the future. We know what's going to happen at the end. And why do we know what's going to happen at the end? That Jesus Christ is going to return and set up his kingdom here on earth. Because the Word of God says so, or prophesied that Jesus Christ is going to return. And so prophecy relates to what's going to happen in the future, both on a personal level, but also on a global scope. But prophecy is so much more than that. If you look at the word prophecy in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word translated into the English word prophecy means to bubble forth or to cause to bubble. And it always relates to speaking. So it's like a bubbling forth of words. And when you think of something bubbling, what I like to think of is the can or the bottle of Coke that's been shaken too much. You know, there's a lot of bubbles that, you know, if you're driving along, the bottle of Coke you've been drinking gets knocked off your seat, rolls around the front. If you open that, what happens? You get an abundance of bubbles. Can you stop it? Now, if you open it slowly, maybe it'll come out a little less than you know, you won't get the shower of Coca-Cola, but, you know, it just bubbles forth. And that's the idea of prophecy. When the spirit of prophecy comes upon an individual, it's the bubbling forth of something. And what that something is, it's not necessarily things that are going to happen in the future. That something that bubbles forth from a person is the Word of God. And the Word of God is more than just things that tell us what's going to happen in the future. It reveals so much more of what God's about. In fact, that idea is also in the New Testament word prophetes, which means to speak before or to speak forth. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 gives us the general scope of prophecy. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So what does prophecy do? The purpose of prophecy and how it builds up the church, how it builds up believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is it strengthens them. How many need strength to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but I need strength. Life is tough. And one way that we get strength to live for the Lord Jesus Christ is through the Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when the Holy Spirit speaks through someone to you, whether it's a personal prophecy or whether it's a public prophecy, such as we had this morning, it's to strengthen us in our walk and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophecy is also something that encourages. When the Word of God speaks to us, it's an encouragement. We'll talk a little bit about more about that this morning as we looked at some specifics as far as prophecy. And when God speaks, and when a prophecy comes forth, it's not me speaking. When I speak or when I preach, I'm teaching or preaching, and yes, I'm getting that from God and from the Word of God. But it's from me, it's from my mind. When prophecy comes, it's the Holy Ghost speaking through an individual, such as we read in our text this morning. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And it's a comfort to those who receive that. How does prophecy strengthen and encourage and comfort people? Well, three ways. Firstly, prophecy ministers hope by revealing the future. We touched upon this just a few moments ago. But let's just talk about this for a few moments once again. A good example of this is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 21 through 28. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ regarding the times of the end. He wanted to foretell or let his disciples both then and now know what was going to happen on the earth before the great and terrible day of his return. And talking about the events leading up to his return, he says this, "Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment, in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Now the bulk of that is bad news. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I don't see strength, encouragement, and comfort. I see sorrow and woe. But if you look at it in its entirety, you see that even though it's talking about a terrible time that's going to come upon the earth, God pouring out his wrath, and it will come. And the reason I know it will come, because it's in the book, it's in Scripture. The Bible says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." And so a terrible time is coming on the earth. And at the end, look up, Jesus said. Why? Because your redemption's drawing nigh. Even though times will get tough preceding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're to look at them solely in the natural, we should be distressed and worried, are we going to make it? Because Jesus took time to prophesy, or to let us know what was coming down the road, we'll look at those days with joy. Why? Not because of the events that are going on, but because we know Jesus is coming, and Jesus has everything under control. And if we know Jesus, no matter what happens, either during that time or in the events leading up to that time and the sorrows and struggles that we're going through right now, everything is going to be okay. Prophecy, because it lets us know who's in control in the future, no matter what happens, good or bad, strengthens and encourages and comforts us because we know who's in control. Secondly, prophecy ministers grace, because prophecy, in addition to foretelling the future, calls people to repentance. You know, a lot of people are under the idea that prophecy just needs to be warm and fuzzy, and just words of God's going to bless you. And I'm not trying to despise those words when they're shared, because those are good words, and we need to hear that sometime. But I don't know about you, sometimes I need, as a believer, a kick in the pants, if you can excuse the expression this morning. When we think of prophecy, we think naturally of prophets, of the people who bring those messages, and we have a lot of examples of those who prophesied, both in the New, but more so in the Old Testament. And what do you think of when you think of the Old Testament prophet? I think of Elijah. And not many people liked him. In fact, I believe it was King Ahab, and I may be mistaken, said, "I don't want to hear anything from Elijah, because he doesn't prophesy anything towards me which is good. I only want prophets that tell me things that I like." And then in the New Testament, we have whom Jesus called was the greatest of all the prophets, John the Baptist. And what was his message? Repent. Turn from sin, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That doesn't seem very strengthening or encouraging or comforting. In fact, when someone tells me wrong, I find that very discomforting. I'd rather people tell me something good. But from God's perspective, if he sees someone who's in sin, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins surely shall die. He who sows seeds to the flesh shall of the flesh reap destruction. Because he loves us so much, he's willing to send us his word. Not only his written word, but through the voice of a prophet to let us know that we're in sin, to turn back to God so that what? We might experience forgiveness, grace, and restoration. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus. And even though we might be steeped in sin, if we turn to God, all of our sins can be washed away. And we can be and are made brand new in the name of Jesus. But how can we hear unless there be a preacher? And God loves us so many ways that even if we're too dense or thick-headed, pardon me, this morning, to open the book, he'll send someone to us to share us his word, which cuts to the heart, is the divider of the soul and the spirit. Restoration, forgiveness, renewal, grace in Christ is something that does in an abundant fashion give us strength, encouragement, and comfort. Thirdly, prophecy ministers greater revelation because it deepens our understanding of God. The book of Isaiah, which is a book of prophecy, says in Isaiah, a very common scripture, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, talking about the coming of the Messiah. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Now, of course, when we read this, we do acknowledge that this is talking about events that have not yet happened, that the Son of God would be coming. But there was much more than that, than just letting know that the Son would be born. It talked about not only that he was coming. It was not only a herald of his coming, it was also a revelation of who he was. Wonderful Counselor. Someone who would come and grant wisdom to his followers. Mighty God, someone who, to those who put their faith and trust in him, nothing would be impossible. Everlasting Father, no beginning, no end. You know, in that time, during the time of King Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, he was prophesying during the time of a good king. But that good king was going to die, and they weren't sure about the next king. Would he be a king who would follow in the ways of God and righteousness and bring blessing? Or would he be a king who would turn his heart after the idols of the world and bring cursing upon the nation of Judah? When the Son was come, he would establish a kingdom that would never end. And we'd never have to worry about leadership because he's eternal. The Prince of Peace. Peace is coming to the world, and peace can be experienced right now through Jesus. You can have peace with God and live your life in peace amidst a life of turmoil. And how do we know this? Because years ago, a prophet uttered these words. The Holy Spirit came upon a man and he spoke these words, and they just weren't ideas that kind of popped into the head of Isaiah. They were the words of God. They were powerful. They were anointed. They're still powerful and anointed today. And speak to the hearts of men and women everywhere. And reveal to us what? More about who God is. Not just that he's all powerful, but he's loving, and his power because of Jesus is something, and his love and his grace and his mercy is something that we can experience in our lives today. The Word of God is quick and powerful, including the words of prophecy. It foretells the future, but so much more. It reveals to us who God is, and not just to our minds and not just to our hearts, but to the deepest parts of who we are, that is our spirits. But a word of caution. Prophecy, although powerful, is not perfect. And the reason it's not perfect is because prophecy, like every other aspect of human ministry, and God has chosen to do the work of his kingdom through people, not through angels. He only ministered himself for 3 years before he died, rose again, and was ascended to the right hand of the Father. He chooses us, people. And because he works through people, there's that human element which is subject to error and failure. And so prophecy, even though it's powerful, is something that needs to be received and handled very, very cautiously. Just like if someone drove up to your house and delivered to you a box of dynamite. Now, we're not to be afraid of it, but we're to be very cautious with it. And this is brought out in Scripture. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 24, false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Just like there will be a false Messiah, and just like there have been false or true prophets throughout time, there will be people who prophesy falsely. And so as believers, we need to be on guard against them. In fact, I think the best scripture that describes how we should be in handling this wonderful, powerful, but dangerous, if carelessly used or mishandled, gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to be as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, be as shrewd as snakes, but innocent as doves. Let's talk for a few moments about receiving prophecy. Number one, when a prophecy comes forth, it should be respected. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, "Do not treat prophecies with contempt." Think of the Old Testament prophets. Let me tell you something about them if you don't know this already, and I'm sure you do. The Old Testament prophets were not like the big name evangelists that we have today, and I'm not trying to poke holes or poke fun at big name evangelists, but in Christian or religious circles, they are widely applauded. They're well received, and everyone loves them. That's the exact antithesis, and I'm not saying they're calling themselves prophets, but that's the exact antithesis of what Old Testament prophets were like, including John the Baptist. They weren't people who were loved at all. They were people who were respected. They were people who were feared, but they were people who were hated, and they were people who were persecuted. There's something about the gift of prophecy that it's within the heart of man to reject it, to hate it, and to loathe it, and that's something that every one of us need to be on guard against as we worship God. Because one of the things that surely rises its head when the gift of prophecy or God speaking through someone rises up within a church is someone saying, "That's not God, and I don't want to have anything to do with that." To treat it with contempt, and that word contempt can also be translated to despise utterly. And there are different reasons for this. Number one, reason that we can hold a prophecy or a word that someone shares with us with contempt is we don't respect that person. You know, that person hasn't been serving God as long as I have. Or that person doesn't serve God the way that I do. In fact, I know that person goes to the casinos. And so there's no way God could use them. You know what I'm saying? That whole type of thing. And let me tell you, last week I mentioned Balaam the donkey, but listen, God can and has used anyone to bring forth His word. When God wants to speak, He will use anyone. In fact, there were instances in Scripture where God even used people who weren't really right or living for Him, and some who are even wicked and evil. Think of Balaam. Balaam is an Old Testament prophet. You can read about him in the book of Numbers. He was a wicked man. He was into serving God simply for monetary gain. Yet when the Spirit of God came upon him, he prophesied the truth. He even acknowledged that in his life. He died a sinner, an enemy of the nation of Israel. But God used him to bless Israel through his words. Another man is the man Saul, the king of Israel. A man whom the Spirit of God fell upon in a mighty way, but who allowed his insecurity, fear, and jealousy, and love of man more than the love of God to ruin his kingship. And the Bible says when he was coming and his desire was to destroy David, and he was coming, I believe, to the city of Ramah in order to either get David or to get information about David, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he prophesied in an uncontrollable fashion. The Holy Spirit was on him and he prophesied, yet he was not right. And then during the time of Christ, Caiaphas, the high priest, said as they were deliberating the fate of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man whom he feared, a man who he despised, a man who he sought to have unrighteously killed, said, "What? Better that one man should die than the whole nation perish." And he said that not of his own volition. The Bible says, he prophesied of what Jesus Christ came to do. One man dying for the nation and the world to be redeemed. We can't despise a prophecy because in our eyes, the person who is prophesying doesn't measure up. Oh, I know them. Get beyond them. Look through the eyes of the Spirit. Don't despise because you could be missing out on a blessing. God wants to speak to you. You won't receive it. And worse yet, you're despising a work of God that God wants to do in a powerful way. Take that a step further. The Bible says that not only is prophecy something that should not be treated with contempt. I'm not saying that we swallow everything whole because someone stands up in the middle of a service or someone comes to us and says, I have a word for you, that we just, okay, yeah, I accept it. But we don't immediately reject it either. And prophets and prophecy is something that should be respected. Matthew 10:41 says, anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Psalm 105 verse 15, Word of God says, do my prophets no harm. Someone is being used by God, and if a message is coming forth from God to you, and it's genuinely God, then it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's God. That's His presence. That's His power. And so there needs to be a respect to what's going on. Now, I'm not saying that anyone who stands up or anyone who comes to you with a word is truly sharing the word of God, but at least treat them with respect until it is proved, and it should be proved, that that word or that prophet is not of God. We should approach it because it's something good, something God has said that we should desire within the worship of the church, of the body, of the function of Christ, and something that can bring great blessing to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But having said that, and this is a fine line, this is a tightrope that has to be balanced between the two. Prophecy, although it is something that should not be treated with contempt and should be respected, is something that also should be tested or highly scrutinized. Yes, as we mentioned before, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are to be harmless as doves, but we are to be wise as serpents. And just because a prophetic word is uttered doesn't mean we give blind respect or free and open heart to what is being said. We treat it with respect, we are open to it, but we test it to make sure that it's good and true. Once again, revisiting 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Verse 21 goes on to say, test everything. Hold on to the good. And that word test means to put to the fullest test of what is being spoken. In fact, that word test is the same word that's used to test metals. Now, I've never done this, and I hope I never have to do it. But if you go to a pawn shop, and if you have to do it, bless God, that's what they're there for. And let's say I would never do this. Let's say I needed some money, so I'm going to bring my ring. And I'm not sure what the carat is. I think it's either 10 or 14 carat gold. If I go up to Joe's pawn shop and say, listen, I've got this 10 carat gold ring, or 14, I'll go for 14. Worth a little more money. I've got this 14 karat gold ring. How much will you give me for it? He's not just going to pass out, you know, whatever, however many hundreds of dollars there is. I guess gold is at, soaring. So it's probably a couple hundred here. I paid for that at least. More than that. And he would test it to make sure. If they're building an airplane or a boat or anything that is important, they test the authenticity of that metal. Strength test, spark test, fire test. Do they melt at the right temperature? Are they, you know, they just don't say, oh yeah, this is gold, sure, we'll take it. Could be fool's gold for all they know. Pyrite. And that's how we're to approach prophecy. Yes, I respect and I honor that you have brought something forth. Now let me see whether it's true or not. Let me put that to the test. If you don't, I won't say that you're a fool, because the Bible says call no man a fool, but you're certainly foolish if you don't test what is being spoken into your lives. John puts it this way in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, same word. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Apostle Paul, and talking to this church that we've been looking at in the Corinthian church, we've been reading 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And he and the spiritual gifts were in abundance at this church. And he didn't say, oh, glory, hallelujah, there's a lot of prophecies. He said there needs to be a limit to her at the most three. But he said, let me read it verbatim. Might have it even up there. 1 Corinthians 14:29, two or three prophets speaks, and the other should weigh carefully what is said. Don't just take wholesale what is being spoken. Test it. Make sure it's true. You don't want to open your lives up to error or sin or manipulation. How do we test prophets or test prophecy? You almost can't divide the two. Reading Matthew 7, 15 and 16. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Well, how do you tell if fruit's good? Well, you can just look at it. And that's one way. I used to work in a supermarket, and I did work in the vegetable or produce section. And the way to find out if fruit is good is not just by looking at it. Although it can look good, but you can get it home and it be as sour and as bitter as all get out. One way I found, especially with cantaloupe, it's got to have a right feel to it. There's got to be a little give to it. If it's hard as a rock, it's going to be as tasteless as a rock. And it should give off a little bit of an aroma. And if that thing smells like a juicy cantaloupe and has got a little give to it, buy that thing. You won't be disappointed. Full inspection. And so when someone shares a prophecy, that the fruit of that prophet needs to be examined thoroughly. Two aspects of this. Just like in a fruit, you know, you just not need to look at it. The first and the most important thing, what do they say? Number one is, what they say, is it scriptural? Does it line up with the Word of God? Everything that you receive, and not just when someone brings a word, either in a service or someone says, I have a word for you, but a sermon, a teaching, a book. I say this often. It's nothing new. Test it to make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. If it doesn't, throw it out. Did things that were said in the past by this individual, did they come true? When someone speaks to the future of someone and there's a lot of this going on in the body of Christ, not necessarily bad, but there are people out there who are pumping people saying, you're going to do this, this, and that. Well, has it come to pass? And yes, prophecies may fail, but if their batting average as far as their prophetic words is around 110 and not in the 90s, you know what I'm saying? Their prophecies fail more than they're true. And I would dare say, don't take much stock in what this prophet is saying. Thirdly, does it bear witness? These are spiritual gifts, and we are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. When you're saved, you're baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. You receive a measure of the Holy Spirit. And if you've been filled to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit lives to overflowing within your life if you proceed to live in that experience and that blessing that God has given you. And the Holy Spirit's the last scripture on the PowerPoint this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Does the Holy Spirit bear witness with you? Oh, this is God. This is speaking to my heart. Or, it's not me. Listen, true prophecy is not difficult because it's God. But false prophecy is not difficult either. Anyone can get up and read a scripture and do so with a loud voice and claim it's a prophecy and not truly be one. Does it bear witness with other people? Paul said, let two or three judge. Talk about a little bit about more about that in a moment. We need to test prophecies because it's of their nature that they will cease or fail. 1 Corinthians 13:8, where there are prophecies, they will cease. King James Version says they will fail. One thing you need to understand about prophetic words, they are not scripture. Only this will last forever. Not a word of prophecy. As wonderful, as encouraging, as powerful as it is, it will not last forever and sometimes will cease. An example of this was the prophecy that Jonah uttered against the Ninevites. 40 days, this city will be destroyed. They repented. And God did not destroy the city. That prophecy failed. And I'm sure the Ninevites were very happy about that. Prophecy is not equal to Scripture, so it has to be tested. And I didn't mention it earlier, but a couple things about prophecy. Number one, as we approach the time of the end, there will be an increase. One of the signs that Jesus is coming, there will be an increase of false prophets in the world. But secondly, there is a prophetic movement in our country today. Some of you might be more aware of it than others. And I think that's a good thing. But whenever something good is happening, there's also something evil going on because the enemy wants to mar or ruin anything that is good. And one of the things that troubles me about the present day prophetic movement is the lack of accountability therein. Two things about it. Number one, there are a lot of prophecies that are made about global things that are supposed to happen, spiritual things, things regarding governments, things regarding the economic situation. Is anyone really keeping track of these things to see if these things actually will come to pass? I wonder about that. And I'm not that plugged into it, so I don't have statistics before you. But even more troubling, and I subscribe to Charisma Magazine's news service and receive a lot of their stories, and a lot of their stories are wonderful of God's moving, but a lot are very troubling because there are a lot of high profile ministers in the body of Christ in the charismatic movement who have some very, very serious moral issues, and seemingly nothing, there are no consequences because of that. They are preaching one way and living their lives completely another way. And it bothers me. By your fruits you shall know them. Bad trees cannot bear good fruit. And so we need to be very, very careful. And we need to truly examine who is writing this book, so-called prophetic book. I don't want to despise it. That's being written. Are they someone who loves God, who honors God? And no one's perfect. But there are some serious character, moral issues that seemingly no one cares about. In our movement, I'm ashamed to say, but we can't be an ostrich and hide our heads in the sand and say, well, it's not going on. It is going on, and it's bringing great harm to the body of Christ. Why do you think people think we're fools? Because they see those individuals on television and read about their lives in the newspapers, how different they are from what they profess. God help us. And so the day and the age that we live, we need to make sure that what we're receiving is genuine and real and true. And so as far as testing prophecy and testing the prophets, these things, and I'll be finishing shortly. Number one, know the Word of God. This is not a day and age to be ignorant of what God's Word says. I've said it before, and I'll say it time and time again till the day I die. You want to protect yourself from false prophecies or false teachings. Know what the book says, because God will never go against His Word. Amen. He has exalted His Word and His name, according to Psalm 132:7 or 123:7. Forgive me for not having the reference. Second, when someone gives a word, listen and prayerfully meditate on what was spoken. Is this God? Is this scripture? Is this God? And is this for me? I found the truth of God's word, whether it be God's written word or God's spoken word, is revealed on my knees as I've not only received, but I've spiritually digested what God has spoken. Second, ask God and others, is this of God? Someone comes to you with a word, don't despise it, pray about it, but ask other people, and not just anyone, you know, because you don't want to turn it into a gossip fest where it becomes a character, because again, it could quickly lapse into a character assassination of someone bringing a word who's a good godly person just doing what God asked them to do. But a mature, objective, spirit-filled believer, is this of God? And if they know God and they're serving God, they'll let you know. When they don't know, they'll let you know if they're not sure. But above all, listen to the still small voice of God's Holy Spirit. God loves you, and He doesn't want to see you succumb to error. And He's going to let you know. Parent, you're not going to let your child listen to garbage. You can say, turn that off. Don't listen to that. And if they receive something from school that's not right, you know, they teach, you know, evolution or this or that at school, you're going to say, you know, that's what they teach, but this is the truth. This is what the Word of God says. And our Heavenly Father is going to do the same with us. Examine their lives, as I've mentioned before. Do they have effective ministry? And effective ministry isn't always numbers. Effective ministry is people are changed through their lives and through their words. Do they live up to the standard of a leader? And let me tell you, leadership has standards. If you don't believe me, read the 2 Timothys and Titus, full of standards. It's not just carte blanche. Anyone who wants to be a leader, step right in. And the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you and protect you. Not only protect you, but provide a safe environment for you to receive what someone might speak into your life. I'd like to ask our musicians to once again come forward. With the prophetic movement, as I mentioned before, comes great opportunity for blessing, for God's people to experience great things. But there's also a danger there. Because, and this is why some people run away from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're afraid because they've seen the abuses. In the prophetic movement, there can be elements that become cultish. And what I mean by that, they can use so-called, not genuine, but so-called prophetic ministry as a tool to manipulate people. And there are reasons why people want to manipulate others. They want to control other people and get other people to do what they want them to do. You know, we've got to be very careful of the cult personality in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It happens. And the enemy wants to use prophecy to deceive people away from serving Jesus Christ, to believe a lie, to believe in things that aren't even true. Well, yea, the Lord has said, no, God didn't say that. Test what's being spoken, because the enemy prophesies as well. But God will protect you if you do what he says and don't just swallow everything that comes your way whole. In the day and age that we live, people will even use a gift of prophecy, sometimes even the genuine gift of prophecy, for financial gain. Perfect example of that was Balaam in the Old Testament, and I see it unfortunately on television all the time. People, so-called ministers of God, are just gouging people for their own personal gain. I don't know about you, but when I see, and I don't have anything against people who live in a nice house, drive a nice car, have a nice office or a big church, God bless them. But when people live in excessive opulence, while people such as the people we looked at in those slides from Haiti a few weeks ago live in abject poverty, and seemingly those people don't care or give a dime, there's something wrong. And those individuals will have to give an account of themselves to God. Don't be a tool of someone's get-rich-quick scheme. Listen, there's... And as I'm putting a lot into this morning, and I am at the tail end. Three signs to look for, three caution signs that I've seen. Number one, be very careful in an organization, whether it be a church or a ministry, where prophecy is elevated to that which is equal to or greater than Scripture. When people say, you know, the word, even though the Word of God says this, the prophet says this, so the prophet overruns or the prophecy supersedes Scripture, run as far away from them as you possibly can. Burn their phone number, get rid of the website, burn the books, burn them. Don't give them away. Secondly, criticism of what's going on there is discouraged or disparaged. Healthy criticism is okay. That's what testing is, and it belongs in the body of Christ. Ungodly criticism doesn't. It's a tightrope to walk. You've got to be careful. But when someone questions what's being said, is this right or wrong, and they're labeled as a heretic or someone who doesn't have faith or this or that, that's when the supernatural is being used as a manipulative tool or a cultish tool. And thirdly, the character flaws of a prophetic leader are either ignored or covered up, which can happen in worshiping God. And I've seen it. We're seeing it today in the wide open. If the stuff that was going on today happened when Jimmy Swaggart, and he's kind of the poster child, and I don't mean to cast stones at him, but his issues back in the 80s, if it came to light today, I bet almost nothing would have happened to him, except with the assemblies it would have happened. But he would have not experienced the shame, because people are doing far worse today and nothing is being said and people are still buying into it. For shame, for shame, for shame. This morning, let's stand together. I'm going to open up the altars. we as the body of Christ can just seek God. I don't mean to punch holes in the gift of prophecy, the prophetic movement. I think it's wonderful. I think it's a blessing. I think it's something that God promised would happen. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. It's going to happen. But we've got to be wise as we approach these days that we're living in. Amen? Amen. So two things this morning. We're just going to pray. And if you need to go after we pray, that's fine. God bless you. But we're going to open up the front or where you're seated to pray for two things. Number one, to pray that God's Holy Spirit continues to move and moves in an even greater way in our church and in this world. Amen? Because just like the gift of prophecy is to be handled very carefully, it's still something that's very much so needed. Amen? We've got bedrock that needs to be blown up. And we need the supernatural in our midst in the name of Jesus. So bless God. But we need to pray for the protection and the infilling of the Holy Spirit so we're wise and we can discern the truth from counterfeit in the name of Jesus. Amen.